I like being the villain.
We get top three.
These two and Kendrick.
Kendrick got to be in there. Shane.
Shane and Mike.
I'm too old. Y'all two and Kendrick. Yeah.
When I had to guard Kendrick, that's when I knew it was time to retire.
Come sit down, fella.
What up, EuroLeague fans? Welcome back to a special episode of EuroLeague and Friends Global. My name is Kyle Hines. Today, we have a very special episode, a very special edition. We're going to be talking to the stars, the creators of the brand new docuseries, documentary that hopefully many of you fans have the opportunity to see. That is The Crown Season. And today, we have our special guest. First, I'd like to introduce the legendary, coming all the way from Istanbul, Turkey, two-time EuroLeague champ, one of the best and legendary guards coming out of EuroLeague history, and that is Shane Larkin. Shane, what's up, man?
What's up, brother? Good to see you. Glad to be here, man. How you been?
Appreciate you, man. I'm chilling, man. Next up, coming all the way from Athens, Greece, the French beast, one-time EuroLeague champion, arguably the best center in EuroLeague since I retired. My guy, Mateus Lasort. Mateus, what's up, man? How's everything?
Hi, everybody. I'm doing good, man. Fido and Maria, gonna get back hooping.
Good, man. Good to have you. And then, last but not least, the natural, arguably one of the greatest players in EuroLeague history, EuroLeague's all-time leading scorer, coming from Monaco, France. My guy, Mike James. Mike, what's up, man?
Nothing, man. Just trying to survive out here, brother. How you doing, man?
Hey, man. Can't complain, man. It's on the other side right now. You know what I mean? Trying to figure it out.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
All right. We're going to jump it on fifth play. I'm going to start with you, Shane. You know, as the producer, as the co-creator, you know, of The Crown Season, you know, what made you want to, you know, highlight or you know, start this project?
I think the biggest thing for me wanting to start something like this is just that I don't think the EuroLeague gets enough global respect that it deserves. So just trying to have a platform where we could show different stories of some of the best players in the league and the lifestyle that they are living, all the work that goes into it, the sacrifices, just that basketball is so global. And, you know, if you can live a great lifestyle, if you put the work in regardless of where you're from or where you started. So just being able to put together something like that so that people can see the lifestyle and the work that's being put into, you know, become a guy like Mike or become a guy like Matias. So that's really what the thought process was behind it. And, you know, I'm grateful that these two guys have been so open and authentic in bringing people into their lives because I know it's not easy while also, you know, going through a EuroLeague season. So really appreciative of them. And I think it's been going great so far. So hopefully we continue to do some great things.
Yeah, man, I watched the first two episodes, man, so I definitely want to give you your props on, you know, putting it together. You know, as somebody that's been in EuroLeague or been associated with EuroLeague for a long time, I know, you know, back 5-10 years ago, like, I was pushing guys to, you know, speak more about it and care more in their lives, especially because, like you said before, a lot of times that people don't necessarily get opportunity to understand what it is to be a EuroLeague player, what it is to play at this level, but also the thing. You hear so many negative things about playing overseas, especially coming from America. So, you know, you never get an opportunity to see, like you quit the grind, how the game rewards you, right? So was that a big motivation factor for you?
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. I think a lot of people think of the basketball dream as, you know, kind of the NBA or not. They don't really understand what kind of lifestyle and what kind of success, what kind of passion there is for the game of basketball here in Europe. And I think that's just for the lack of knowledge. It's kind of ignorant. So just to be able to show on this platform, YouTube, social media, the lifestyle and the things that can come with being a, you know, a big time player in Europe, definitely was a huge impact on wanting to put something like this together.
Who was your first call, Mateus and Mike, when you thought about, you know, as people to
Well, my first was the natural, had to be the natural, because, you know, no one score of all time in this league. If you don't get him, then, you know, he's been the guy for for so long and done it at such a high level. Had respect on both continents. Obviously played in the NBA, played in Europe. So when I thought about putting something like this together, obviously he was one of my first thoughts and first calls. We also have a good friendship. So I ain't really giving my option. I was like, yo, we doing this. I need you on it. So appreciate it, bro. And then obviously Matias, the kind of the historic rise he had from his journey early on. I remember playing against him in Bayern, I think, many years ago. And then obviously his story and kind of how he exploded onto the scene once he got to Partizan. I think one of the most lively and loud characters that you see on the floor here in EuroLeague. So to be able to have him a part of this and, you know, speak on his historic rise and how he went from, you know, I mean, just watch the story. I don't want to give away too much, but, you know, to see the things that he's been able to do. He was another guy that I was like, if I am able to get something like this off the ground, I need him on there to show, you know, what it's like to be in that world, especially now being an athlete, being the guy. That championship celebration was, you know, legendary. So just for him to be able to tell his story and how he got to where he got to, I think is important. So he was probably call number two, to be honest.
Yeah, I'll get back to Mateus because, I mean, I have an interesting story that I want to tell from my point of view, like this kind of from his rise. But I'm going to get to Mike. I know how hard it is, and Mike even mentioned it during the documentary about he doesn't want to be on camera. He's not about the fame. He's not about the exposure. So, Mike, what was it for you that allowed you to kind of be vulnerable, allowed you to kind of, like, and like Shane already said, he didn't really give you a choice, but, you know, what was it about this project that made you want to be a part of it?
I'm still debating every day, man. If we being honest. But Train is my guy, man. So I'm here, man. I like to look out for my homeboy, man. He asked me to do something, so I did it, man.
That's back.
You got
that's back. That's back. You are one of the most loyal people I could possibly say. Anytime that like somebody needs something, you definitely look out. What has been your favorite part about it so far? This something, because I've noticed this year you've been more on the camera. You've been more willing to be on podcasts. You've been more willing to open that book here. So, you know, what about this process has been rewarding for you?
I think people hate when I say this, but it's coming to an end. Like, I'm getting to the end. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's over, man. People gotta accept it just like I accepted it. People telling me it's not over. It's getting over, brother. It's all right. So, you know, I mean, I think just that part of it, I think more people want to see and, you know, I'm more open to talk about. I think before when I was still in the midst of it and still trying to chase a whole bunch of things, I think I was just so focused on basketball only and didn't really care about nothing else. And now, you know, I'm down here.
I mean, it's interesting because, like, the way you went about it, like, you got one of the largest platforms on both continents. Like, Shane alluded to it. Like, I tell you all the time, like, you're probably one of the most famous EuroLeague players, right? Because you could walk into any gym, you could walk into anywhere. People know Mike James, right? So, what was it about that wanted you to kind of like do more for your platform, just do more for yourself?
You know me, man. I'm cool with retiring and nobody ever seeing me again, to be honest. I could see that for myself. I think about it every day. But it's not, to be honest, it's really not about me. I understand like what I bring to the whole documentary, but it ain't like really about me or me pushing myself or pushing my brand. My manager would hate that I'm saying this, but I really don't care about it like that. It's just more about like Shane got something and I think it's dope. And I think a lot of more people should do it if they into it. I'm not really into it, but seeing me put myself out there, maybe at a, allow somebody else to feel comfortable to do it. So if I got to be the guinea pig for the first year and try to get it off the ground, you know, maybe it could go for like 5, 6 years, 10 years, whatever. And it'd just be a thing where a lot of big players and a lot of people feel more comfortable opening their lives up and letting us see what's going on.
Yeah. Speaking of opening lives up, Mateus, you kind of show a different side, a different vulnerability. You going through an injury, you going almost at to the height of, you know, winning EuroLeague and being there and now kind of peeling the onion back and watching you go through the rehab. So it's not only you going through it, but your family going through it as well. And you kind of going through this transition. So, you know, talk more about that. Like, you know, how was this process for you kind of like basically, you know, bringing the cameras into a very vulnerable moment and very vulnerable times for you and your family?
To be honest, I'm kind of like Mike on that. You know, I was not really open on camera and trying to be. You know, I'm the type of person on the court, but then when I get off the court, I'm kind of different. And you know, on the court, I'm a basketball player. On the street, I'm a regular human. I want to behave like a regular human. I want to be treated like a regular human. I want to be treated like a basketball player. I don't really like that. You know, I see everybody as equal, so it was kind of hard. But my wife talked me into this. She was the one who was really pushing for me to be more open, be more vocal on my social media, to be open about my family and stuff, because I wanted to keep that really private. But, you know, it was a great occasion to show a different face of myself, you know, to show also that everybody see the good parts and, you know, everybody see the nice things, see the games, see the fan love, they see the fancy stuff, they see the lifestyle, but they don't really see the stuff we're really going through. And, you know, I think this one of the hardest thing a basketball player can go through, or an athlete in general can go through, is being away from this game, something that you don't control, because, you know, you don't control your body react to anything. You don't control how your body react on the way you're going to feel. I jumped like that a million times in my life, and I've never landed like that. And it was that one time that, you know, you just don't control the way you're landing. And this brings you down to earth, and you understand how quick things can go, and you understand how vulnerable you are. Because, you know, when you play, you're in that little bubble where you just focus on the game and you're going through the motion, but, you know, you forget to count your blessing. You forget that, okay, every time you step on that court, even for a practice, you know, it's a blessing. Every time you do something, you know, it's not something that's given to everybody, and it's not an opportunity that you're going to have all your life. And, you know, this also a part of what I wanted to show, that, you know, we, like I said, we're regular human. We're going through shit too. We're going through stuff. Oh shit, I cursed. My bad. We're going through stuff, and
you good?
And yeah, it's just a good opportunity to showcase that, to show the impact it can have on our family, on my kid, on my wife, on my parents, and on everybody around me, and how you deal with it.
I mean, that's what I think is like been the biggest takeaway for me watching like the first two episodes, and then also, you know, probably, you know, why this has been so successful is that all three of you guys have been truly your authentic selves. Shane, I want to go back to you. How important for you was it to capture, you know, those real life experiences, those real life emotions, versus just having some kind of like, you know, fluff, you know, documentary?
I mean, I think it's very important to show like kind of what Matias said, is that we're human as well. I'm now dealing with a very similar situation as Matias, being away from my team, not being able to help. So even being able to watch it from my point of view, seeing what he's been going through, how he's been able to help his teammates and keep their energy up and their spirits, has been important for me. So just, you know, like you said, giving a real authentic, you know, view into what goes into this lifestyle. I don't think people fully understand what it's like to live in a city like Athens or in Monaco or Istanbul and all the things that come with this life. So, just really giving that insight, because I think there's a lot of guys who kind of teeter on that line as to, can I go to Europe? Can I be successful? Can I go over there and be able to live a lifestyle that makes it worth it to be away from family for 10 months a lot of the times? And being able to show some guys that are doing it and doing it at a high level and have their families and have all the things going for them that these guys have, I think is a good way to show people what is available and kind of push the narrative of being more open-minded to what's out there in this basketball world, as opposed to just being, you know, focused on one specific thing.
Definitely, definitely. Matias, you are one of the things I love so much about like your segments is that like you're very rooted in family, and you show that. So how has your son been, you know, during this process of like him kind of like being around with the cameras, and I'm sure him watching, you know, watching the documentary and watching everything, like how has that been? And like one of the things that you said, which I thought was, I never really even realized, was that like, it's, this injury has almost kind of been a little bit of a blessing in disguise, because it's allowed you to kind of grow closer to him and be around him more. So talk a little bit about him and talk about like where you get your deep rooted family root from.
You know, my son, he's at the age where he started to understand, you know, what's going on. He started asking me a lot of questions about, oh, when you're going back to play, when I'm going to see you again. He's telling me, all right, let's go see the doctor so he can fix your leg. He lost time. He tried to put a Band-Aid on my leg. It's okay. We'll try to play now. So, you know, he's a lot of little stuff he'd be doing. You know, he kind of understand, okay, I have a problem with my leg, and I have to explain to him, okay, we have to wait. We have to be patient. But, you know, this I would say that's the person that helped me the most through this phase is him. My son was really like my children, that he was the person that was leaning on, despite him being so young, you know. He just don't care about anything. He's just a young, innocent person. So he gives you a different energy, you know. But he doesn't come with that sad face. So, like, oh, you're injured. Oh, I know it's a sad time for you, and I feel sorry for you, because I don't like when people feel sorry for me. He don't feel sorry for me. Yeah. He's just like, all right, let's just see the problem and let's go. Like, come on, I need you to play with me. I need you to jump. I need you to play basketball. Like, I don't care if you're injured. Like, you go fix it. You just go fix it. Like, I fixed my little problem. So, you know, he's the main character in this. Obviously, my wife also helped me a lot through this, but my son was really the one that I was, you know, he's going with me to the gym. You see on the episodes, sometimes he comes into my workout. And, you know, he's really what I have here. And you know, I come up, a lot of people, because I'm playing from France, so a lot of people think I'm from France, and I'm not far from where I'm from. But, you know, I'm far from where I'm from, and where I'm from, we don't even, it's not even that people is not informed about EuroLeague. We don't even know EuroLeague exists. Like, so it's a whole different process. And, you know, I'm away from my family. I'm away from the people I grew up with. When I'm in Paris, I feel comfortable, but when I look around, it's not where I grew up at. It doesn't look like where I feel the most comfortable. It doesn't look like home. And, you know, it's also a process, and it's also something for me to be here overseas and to adjust to that, and to have my family here, even though the rest of my people are not here. They help me a lot to them.
I mean, you've adjusted well. I'll tell my story. When we played you guys your first season in Partizan, and we had gone against each other, you know, before. And when we was in Byron, we was in Zalgiris, and, you know, somebody I respected. But that game, like, something happened. Like, you was a different person. Like, you was just a different person, like, different player. Like, I remember I made a move, I did something. And usually, like, I played against you before. I was like, I could get by you. I could do that. I tried to make a move. I was like, oh, he's right here. But I remember you made one dribble, spun off me, and dunked me, like, dunked the ball. And I was like, oh, he's different. I don't know what happened. I don't know what changed over the course of the summer. Like, everything just changed. Like, so tell about, like, you know, you going to Partizan, and, like, Shane kind of alluded to it. Like, what kind of, like, changed for you, like, during those periods? Like, was it something that you changed as far as, like, your regiment? Was it something that just clicked mentally? Like, what did that took you from kind of being, like, you know, like I said, like a normal player bouncing from team to team, to now solidifying yourself as the best center in EuroLeague and one of the best players in EuroLeague?
I'd say everything kind of like started a little bit when I was in Monaco, and I left Munich and went to Monaco. You know, it was, you know, I went from EuroLeague, went back down to Europe, and I was going back to France. So it was like a reset, starting back from zero, starting to build a new project. And, you know, having the confidence from the coach there, that helped me a lot during this season. We had the team that was really fitting my play style, and the mentality, the mindset of the whole team was fitting my play style. And then, you know, when I got to Partizan, it was just everything clicked at the right time. That's right when my son was born. I started Partizan maybe like 2 weeks after my son was born. So I was going to that, you know, they tell you, like, when you become a father, this gives you a superpower. Like, you get extra motivation.
That's what it was right there.
So it was this plus the fact that, you know, working with Jericho, you know, it's an opportunity that, you know, when you're trying to put your name on the map, he doesn't get better than Jelko to help you to this. And, you know, when you play for that coach, he's so well-respected and so well-known in Europe that, you know, you're always going to have something good coming after Jelko if you prove that you can play in his system. So, you know, I was really emphasizing that, and the fact that I have guys around me that was really helping me. And like I said, I was thinking my mindset, like KP and Zach, you know, it was just going out there and being dolls. You know, you talk about the game when we played y'all. KP and Zach was just coming from Milano, so we had the little bet. It was like, oh, Kyle be bringing the ball up. Like, I don't think you can call Kyle bringing the ball up. I said, all right, I got to pick him one time at least. Like, even any time he's going to bring the ball up, I'm a full court press him, and I got to get the ball at least once over here.
And that was a little bit out. We can't be exact. Like, it was like, you go see Kyle did the dance. And they was trying to, like, poke the beer. And I was like, all right, this is a challenge. Yeah. And it's just like I said, everything just slipped. You know, Partizan going back to EuroLeague, me having a coach who really trust me to put me in a position as starting center. And, you know, he's the best coach will ever do it. So having him trusting me, having to take care of my family, and having that opportunity, everything just came at the right time, and it came together, and I had no choice at that time, I guess.
I mean, it all makes sense now. It all makes sense now, the bets. I remember I tried to blow by you, and then I thought I had the easy lay. You came out of nowhere and just pinned my joint against the backboard, and I was just like, this is a different dude right here. This is different. Talking about opportunity, one of the things that comes up a lot in the episode is legacy. Right. And then speaking with you, Mike, you already talk about like your retirement and all the different type of things. But a lot of people say like your legacy, and how much has that come up, and how much is that in the forefront of your mind now that you're kind of breaking all these accolades and breaking all these records and all these different type of things that people are speaking in? What about your legacy that is important to you? And then it seems like people are now, you spend the early part of your career being very misunderstood, right? Like people are always kind of like, look at you one way, but now it seems like towards like this part of your career, and maybe it's also because of the exposure, people are more willing to celebrate you now. So how do you feel about that?
I like being the villain. I hate it, man. I like getting booed everywhere. Now people want to get my autograph and take pictures and say hi. I hate it, but legacy. I think legacy is so stupid.
Yeah.
I think the whole concept is stupid. Like, cause it's always somebody that like ain't sat in the seat, ain't played this game, ain't did nothing that I've done, nothing close telling me that, oh yeah, if you get this, you'll be here. And if you get this, you'll be here. It's like, brother, I don't need your opinion on what I got going on. I'm already, you know what I'm saying? I'm already where I need to be. I'm already where I was supposed to be. I'm already where I need to be. If you look back at where I was at and where I'm at now, you can't tell me that like I need something else to complete my so-called legacy. So I just feel like that whole conversation when people bring that up is just so like you're not initiated. You're not in this group. Like, You ain't played no basketball. You ain't gave a nigga a crossover. If you do a spin move, your knee gonna blow out and it's gonna be over. So like, you can't tell me what's going on over here. Like if you done put the jersey on, got some dunks, done played some defense, mama, then you can tell me, all right, Mike, I think you know what I mean? You can have a better opinion. But if you was just sitting down on the desk telling me that, oh yeah, bro. What KD said it, man. A lot of people ain't never ran a full sprint trying to tell me what I had going on. Like, you ain't never ran a full sprint. You can't tell me about what I got going. Like, trying to run, that shit just don't make no sense to me. Like, I mean, I understand who I am, what I haven't done, what I have done. And I feel like anybody that has a conversation about this league, whether you're going to put me at 1 or 15 or 25 or whatever, you're going to bring my name up. So, I mean, if that's not legacy, I don't know what is. Like, I don't understand the term. Because if you have conversations about the league and you talk about how it changed, what it's looking like now, who was the best players, who had a lot of influence, I feel like I come up in all them conversations. Not saying I'm the number one person in all them conversations, but I got to come up. So, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like whatever people want me to be or think I'm not or whatever it is, I don't understand it. I think I'm already that. So I'm just trying to have fun and, you know, be cool to people. Peace and friendship, you know, shit like that.
I would say ride, enjoy it as long as you possibly can, because then it's going to be a couple of times where you're going to be sitting at a desk just like me. So ride it out as long as you possibly can.
You know, they're back, brother. That back, brother.
Shane, you've been very fortunate and very lucky to be able to be in one place in one city with one team for every long time. So talk about, and then you kind of showed in the documentary, like how much Istanbul means to you. Talk about why that's important to you, And then, you know, just talk about, like, you know, just how you've been so rooted in Istanbul and the different things and different issues that you have then that you've got a chance to show, but also not show in the documentary.
I mean, I think Istanbul, what it represents to me early on, like first 4 years or 5 years of my career, I bounced around. I was in five different teams, first five seasons. So when I finally got here, even my first few months here was, they were not good. And I was trying to leave, to be honest. And we had a situation about halfway through my first season here where I was almost out. And, you know, I was kind of in a situation where I had to either back against the wall, fight through this shit, or go somewhere else. And
it's crazy, though, how, like, those small situations, literally, like, you could have been, like, one game or one situation, and, like, I'm gone, and, like, none of this would ever, like, happen. Like,
exactly.
It's crazy.
Exactly. You think, like, yeah, so it was, like, that bad my first year. And then, obviously, something happened, opportunity, one game, things change, and then I kind of went on that run that we went on for a few years here. And I think the number one thing in basketball, in order to be who you need to be and what you can be to reach your potential, you got to be somewhere that's comfortable. And I think that's what Istanbul kind of gave me after bouncing around for 5 years, five different teams, five different coaches, you know, multiple new teammates. So when I got to Istanbul, we kind of had a group that did well that first year. Lost in the final to y'all. And then, you know, we all kind of had that same motivation, you know, same determination to kind of do something here. It just kind of felt right. And then obviously we went on that run, winning some championships, you know, building lifelong friendships within the city and on the team. So when all that happened, it just felt like this was the place where I needed to be. And then speaking on just trying to give back to this place, I think when I got here when I was 25 years old, I'm now 33. I've been here 8 years. I feel like it's the longest place I've been as an adult. So in a lot of ways, I feel like I grew up here. So just being able to give back something, because I'm not from here, I probably won't, you know, spend the rest of my life here. So just being able to give back while I'm here, and at the same time, making sure these people know that I'm, you know, very grateful for all the support and stuff that they've given me over the past 8 years is kind of what it's all about for me.
Speaking of comfortable, and I don't mean to, like, pocket watch, your house? God damn, bro. Like,
he's got a point. He's got a point. It looked like you've been getting paid on time over there, my brother.
I mean, comfortable.
You signed a 4-year contract, low key, were not very common over here a few years ago.
Yeah.
And they were not, you know, even when I was in negotiations about, you know, if I was going to stay here or not, that was one thing that I wanted. I was like, you know, if I'm going to stay in Athens, I want to be able to know, because up until then I had never had a contract longer than 2 years. And I was just like at a point where I was like, yo, I want to be somewhere and I just want to be there, get a nice house, get comfortable and just kind of not relax, but like feel competent where I am, like be able to enjoy this as opposed to thinking for the next thing. So. Yeah, I got that 4-year deal, and I was like, all right, let me find somewhere where I can have that feeling of, all right, you've done well. So that's what that was all about.
You doing all right over there, but
you comfortable.
I'm comfortable.
But in all seriousness, like, I'm going to go back to you, Mateus. Like, having your family there, and like you talked about before, like your early part of your years, like you kind of bounce around. But like, speak on like, the comfortability of being able to be in one place, in one team, in one situation, like how that has helped you, you know, as far as your career, as far as like, you know, you moved around with your family, like it's, you know, it's very rarely that like we have you three on the same call, but like all three of you, that's one thing that all you guys have in common is like you've been able to be very comfortable and building a comfortable situation for your family in the place you live. So talk about that, Mateus.
Shit, you sum it up. Until parties, I told you, I was single. I ain't had no kid or nothing. I move out one time with wife and kids. I said, I can't do that every year. So I said, I need to find somewhere I can settle down. For moving out by yourself is cool, but when you got all them toys, kids stuff, wife stuff, like, nah. I wasn't trying to do that every year. So I just said, let's try to find somewhere where I know I can stay, where I can be comfortable, and, you know, partner was the right place. Like I said, everything came at the right time. It was a moment where that was trying to build something that was I was interested in, and we put the right piece together. We could get the job done the first year, but, you know, we want to achieve some more, and I'm happy we could let a guy resign, let a guy going to be here for the next 2-3 years. So we're trying to, like, build that on the longevity and trying to stay together for as long as we can and as long as our body let us do it. So, you know, until this group is here, I'm trying to stay here as long as I can, and we're all together trying to accomplish something.
How have you embraced I was talking about Shane, you know, embracing Istanbul, but how have you embraced, I think is an important part about what you be overseas and having success overseas is, right, embracing the culture, embracing where you at. I think a lot of times, like, some guys kind of be like 1 foot in, 1 foot out the door, right? They'd be so worried about what's next rather than just kind of like staying rooted and staying planted where they at. One thing is I can definitely give you props for, let's say, it's like wherever you've been at, especially the Partizan and Athens and Panathinaikos, you know, we've been very rooted in the fan culture and with the fans and not being afraid to interact with the fans and being around them. So, you know, talk about like how important that is for you and what made you want to be like really be a part of like the fandom of these two clubs.
I had to adjust my whole life. I moved out of my island when I was 15. I moved to France, and like I said, everything there is different. We got no winter where I'm from. It was the first time I was experiencing winter and cold weather. It was the first time I was going somewhere where people don't speak the same language as me. We don't have the same accent. We don't dress the same way. We don't look the same way. We don't do nothing the same. So since I'm 15, I got to adjust to my environment. And I had to adjust to where I was at. So I've been doing this since a young kid, and this helped me a lot to honestly move out of my place that young, because, you know, it's just a mindset. It's just something that, you know, you have no choice. It was either I was adjusting or I was going back to my island, and only God know how I would end up if I would stay there. So it was an opportunity I had. It was a once in a lifetime. You know, we a lot of kids from where I'm from, we dreamed about this, just trying to have a basketball school in France, just so we can have access to all this assets and all this infrastructure, you know, having a court with a roof on it on my island. I can count on my hand how many basketball court we have with the roof. So it's like, if it's raining, you can't practice. If it's the weather is bad, you can't practice. If it's windy, you're gonna shoot, the ball just gonna go left. So, you know, just having a gym with a wooden floor and like lights, and it was something for me that was like, damn, like, I'm lucky to be here. I'm lucky that I can just practice, and I don't care if it's snowing outside, if it's cold. Like, so, you know, when you grew up into this, when you get older and you go to places and you feel embraced, and you just want to get that back. You know, in Partizan, it was really the first time that I was feeling like people accepted me for who I was and what I was bringing, and not just, you know, trying to make me be somebody. They love my craziness on the court. They love the way I was. They love the way I was behaving. They love my spirit. They love what I was bringing to the game. And you know, I was just feeling appreciated on and off the court. And you know, when you in that type of environment, you know, especially me, when I see that someone trusts me and believe in me, he just give me something else. Like, I just want to give you that back 10 times and support me, to help me. And everybody was trying to understand me and let me be who I was and just embracing that. And, you know, I just try to, you know, giving them back what they were giving me.
There's one episode in the game where you're in the documentary where you're watching from the top and you're like adamantly like cheering on the team, and you're damn near running on the court. I want to ask, is it like that every game for you? And then how has, like, you kind of being out give you, like, a different perspective? Because I think you were talking to Wacho, and you were talking about his defense, and, you know, that you were talking to Jerry and about, like, you know, him being more aggressive. So, like, has, you know, has that, like, perspective kind of changed you a little bit, seeing the game differently or anything like that? Like, how's that been for you?
I mean, if you ask my old teammate, I was always trying to, like, be kind of like a coach. Like, I like to, because I'd be watching a lot of basketball, so I'd be really locked in and I just watch a lot of games. I just watch a lot of highlights. I just follow, like, every time I can watch a game, I watch it. So, you know, I'm always trying to, like, be into details and, like, trying to help my teammate and you know, trying to talk with them. And that's just what I do. Whether I was doing it when I was healthy, and I see different things now because I'm on the side and you have a different point of view, and I'm just trying to help my teammate to be the best version of themselves. So, you know, I'm just out here trying to give them some advice, trying to tell them what I see, and trying to use, you know, what I know. Because now that I'm out, like, Dino's phone show sometimes, they have to go at 5 bands, and that's what I was doing. So I just give him, like, some tips, some tendency that I know for some players, and just trying to be a voice, trying to be what I was when I was healthy, trying to be the same guy from the sideline, and trying to just help as the best way I can.
Mike, I want to go back to you. Talk about two different things that I've seen in the documentary. First of all, caviar. Like, where did the caviar come from? Like, you know, where did that business opportunity come from? And then, you know, how important was that for you to kind of, like, you know, venture out to do something different that nobody would expect you to do? Like you said, you're the first basketball player, correct me if I'm wrong, first athlete with a caviar brand. So talk about, you know, where did that come from, and you know, how you went about that, and how's it been doing? Like, how's it been performing? People buy it in natural caviar, or is it sitting on the shelves?
It probably, yeah. I mean, it was kind of random. It's probably just me living in Monaco. You know, people talk, ask my manager if what would I be interested in. You know, at first I was like, caviar, I don't even really eat caviar, bro. Like, we just doing anything at this point. And then I was like, you know what? Let me not be so closed-minded.
Comfortable.
You know, I got comfortable. I seen Shane, man. He got his house. I was like, let me get some caviar, bro. The houses are too expensive in Monaco, so I'll get some caviar. I don't know, man. It was real random, to be honest. It's really random. But it's been cool. I mean, we got a lounge at the gym now. People go in there and buy it and get to try it out and stuff like that. I think the sales have been going all right. Obviously, I don't get the mock-up sheet, but it's been cool. It's been well for me, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that is, I was talking to your manager about it a little bit. Like, I think it's, like, important, you know, with some of the stuff that you guys are doing off the court to be able to show that, because, like, I think there was a time when you were in EuroLeague where it was very much, you could only play basketball, right? It was like, if you did anything outside of, like, playing basketball, it was just like, it was almost looked like he's not serious, he's not focused. And, like, to, like, see what you guys are doing, like, outside the court, and I'm speaking specifically to you, Mike, it's like, now it's like, you can see EuroLeague players starting to build a brand for themselves and starting to do more stuff outside of the court versus, like, it wasn't necessarily looked, it was frowned upon, like, when I was starting to come up. It was like, you couldn't even be on your, we used to be getting in trouble being on your phone, you know, before a game. And it's like, now it's like, you know, you guys got camera crews and you got caviar, you got other stuff. So talk about that. Like, talk about, like, the evolution of like where you first started coming to EuroLeague to now seeing out where it's like you said, you have opportunities that are available to you. You have, like, these different outside business ventures that are now available in the city that you played. It was very much like when I came, it was like you played your 10 months, you played from your house, the apartment, and that was it. Like, you ain't know anybody off the court. Like, you never got these opportunities. And now, like, to see what you and Shane doing, you and T is doing. Like, talk about that, Mike. Like, because you've been around the longest, about the evolution of, like, seeing some of the off the court stuff.
Yes, thank you. I am old. I mean, I feel like I just seen a lot of errors. Like, I've been around a while. And I remember when I first got in, it was almost like, if you tweet too much past, like, 10:30, you was getting a text from the GM like, hey brother, I don't know what you own, but you don't be tweeting. It's 11:02. You're supposed to be asleep. Like, I don't know if you should be tweeting right now, brother. So I don't know. I mean, it's crazy how it just grew. I think I'm one of them people that kind of got you know, took a little bit of a hit for it earlier. Like, people was like, oh yeah, he not really serious. He not trying to win. It was a lot of bullshit going on just because, you know, I decided to have an Instagram, man. I don't know. But I'm glad it's grown now. I'm glad that people are starting to think, oh yeah, he can go to practice for 2 hours and go home and stream if he want to, or get on his phone. He can do that. That's crazy. I didn't even know that. Right. Like, he can go get some dinner after the game after he loses. I didn't even think about that. That didn't make sense. I feel like normal common sense, like, were so foreign to, like, Europe at first. It just felt like everybody was unserious. And I'm just glad that it's grown now and people can just be normal humans and just go do how they do what they feel like they need to do. I mean, it is some games after the game I want to go straight home and I don't care and I don't want to talk to nobody. But in some games, I want to go get some food. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we lost, but I'm still hungry. Like, I want to go eat.
So you still got to eat.
Yeah, I'm still hungry, brother. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm glad we've gotten past that. I'm glad, like, that like, era is over. And, like, people can broaden their horizons. You get to learn more about people. And I think it kind of gets us out of just, like, fans only being fans of, like, teams. Because I feel like fans were so in Europe was so stuck on, like, I'm a fan of the team. I love Lazort, but I love Lazort because he plays for Partizan. Once he goes to Pana, I still kind of like him, but I really like Partizan. But now the fact that, like, people get to show their real selves, you get to explore, you get to be out and be a normal human. Now it's like, yeah, I love Lazort at Partizan, but now I also love him at Pana, but my favorite team is still Partizan.
Yeah.
Like, it allows you to just, for fans to, like, be fans of basketball players, too. And I think I've said this for forever, and you know this, Kyle, like, your league can't grow if it's only going to be people being fans of teams. Because you grew up being a fan of your team. Hey, that's never going to change. You always got the same fans. But if players are allowed to show who they are and grow their brand, that's only going to make the league and everybody and the whole thing grow, just because I'm going to gain more fans. Shane going to gain more fans. Matias going to gain more fans, and it just won't be, oh, I follow the team. So I think the more that people get to open up and be themselves and show certain parts of themselves, the more the whole everything just grows. Brand deals grow, people grow, everything just gets more exposure. So I'm just glad we got out of that archaic ass, don't leave a hotel past 8:30. I don't know how many fines I got in my life because of that, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's crazy to even think about, even imagine that, like, we here right now with that. Like, I guess I remember, like, it was like, I think I was making a joke with my wife the other day. It was like, we had a road trip and you used to stay overnight. Like, you used to sneak and pack the jeans and clothes just so they could go out. They like all those, like, little, man, type of things, like, where you could, like, sneak out of the lobby, like,
down the fire escape. Yeah. I done been down so many fire escapes, man.
You need that whole, like, game plan to go out. You need the whole game plan. You need to know what to do. You need to know the hotels. You got a guy that been there before. Oh, I've been here. You can go out the parking lot.
Exit play just to go get some food. Like, just because you don't want to eat the team dinner.
Like a tea, try to avoid cameras, everything. Like, oh, shit, there's a camera here.
Yeah.
they going to check the cameras. Knowing they ain't checking no cameras. I don't know why anybody thought that was a thing, bro.
Like, the hotel going to give the GM a camera. Like,
I mean, even exactly.
Right.
But that was our thought process back then. Like, it's just crazy. Like, and even
sick, man.
And even, like, just to be, like, outspoken and for players to be outspoken. And I want to go to you, Shane, because, like, you created this, your production company, you know, pretty much, like, around us. You know, for you to be able to do podcasts where you're not only interviewing players, but you're interviewing coaches, you're interviewing different people. Like, you're actually having an opportunity to give a platform to do this. Like, so first of all, what did you want to do this? I think you spoke about a little bit before about the documentary, but what made you want to invest into a whole production art? And then second of all, how have you noticed, like, the changes of players just being more outspoken on media? Like, you see yourself, you see, you know, now with Nigel, you've seen Chima, you've seen Elijah. You know, there's a bunch of different people that are finding different mediums. So I think you see that, and you feel almost like you're almost like a pioneer now. What?
Well, I mean, Mike pretty much just said it perfectly. Like, having this platform to show that we are actually humans as well, and not just robots that play basketball, can't do nothing else without it seeming like we're doing something crazy, is kind of where the foundation of the talk came from. So being able to have a platform, a podcast, where a player can come on there and tell his side of the story. A lot of times in Europe, we all know It's like the team has a narrative, and once you get that reputation, that's what's going to follow you around. So until you be able to promote yourself or show yourself to the world in the way that you want to, a lot of the times people don't really know who it is that they're dealing with. So just being able to have a platform where we can get stuff like that off the ground and kind of give players the power to, you know, speak on their narratives, tell their stories, tell, you know, what happened here when, from the media and from the club standpoint, usually it's going to be the player's fault. The player was this, that, and the third. But then the player also has the chance to go out there and say, you know, it wasn't that. This is the real story behind that and how these things went down. So, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call myself a pioneer in any way. I would just say that those old school kind of ideologies that existed here in Europe and the thoughts that people have around them globally kind of hold the league back. And as Mike said perfectly, in order to build this league, in order to build the notoriety and the publicity and the, you know, the fandom of the league, is you can't just promote teams. You have to promote players. You have to promote coaches. You have to promote personalities. So then fans become fans of players. And then those players can, you know, travel and have their whole careers where they have these fans that are truly supporting them. And then the fandom of the league alone grows. So, I mean, that's kind of where the foundation of the idea came from. And, you know, when you have guys like Mr. Natural and Matias Lasor, and you have these superstars that have these big personalities, not being able to fully understand who a guy like Mike is or being able to fully understand who Matias is hurts the game, because they are these guys that came from all the different places. As you heard Matias say, he can count on one hand how many gyms in his home country has a roof. And for him to get to where he's gotten to now, that's going to inspire, and that's going to have a bunch of other kids around the world believe that that's an ability for them. So to be able to tell a story like that, a guy like Mike who went through his journey. So I think it's very important. And I think EuroLeague has a great platform and has so many great basketball players that nobody knows about. And I think doing stuff like this can just continue to push the league and continue to have the league grow and show, you know, all the talent and how global this game truly is. So that's kind of where the ideas came from.
Where has the feedback been from, both with players in EuroLeague that you have talked to, and then also like with your friends and people from back home? What has been the feedback from you, Beth?
A lot of the people, the reactions originally are like, yo, that's how y'all live out there? And I'm like, yeah, bro. Like, yeah. Like, I ain't know y'all could have things like that. I didn't know y'all was making money. Like, I didn't know these kind of things existed in, you know, Athens or Istanbul or Monaco or all the places that we've traveled and things that we've seen throughout the first episodes. So yeah, I think it's just important, bro, to go out there and show those things, because people just don't know what they don't know. So to be able to show them is very important. And the responses have been overwhelmingly positive from my end. So I don't know if those guys have gotten the same responses, but everybody's kind of been really impressed with the production level and, you know, the way that guys are truly telling their stories and being authentically open to show what is truly available. So it's been good.
Yeah, Matias, I'm going to ask you, like, you know, what has been the feedback from you? And what has been, I'm going to phrase it a little bit different from you, what has been something that you learned about Shane or Mike that you didn't know before watching this documentary?
Yeah, I know they were funny. And it was not funny. They're both funny. They both feel natural. But I know, obviously, we've been playing against each other for a long time. We've been having, we had a lot of teammates in common. And we all, like, you know, I think, I don't know, when I was in Tel Aviv one time, we went out with Mike and went to eat together. Shit, I ain't really had the opportunity, but, you know, we know people in common. So, you know, I kind of, like, knew the personality. I kind of knew who they was. But, you know, it's always good to see, you know, everybody experience from their own point of view and different from what we're seeing. And as far from people from back home, it's just what I was been trying to do, trying to put this on the map, trying to show kids from where I'm from that, you know, it's things as possible in sports, that, you know, being an athlete, you can really open your doors and give you big opportunities. You know, I couldn't put this on the map when I was younger, and now, you know, I be in the gym, and sometimes, you know, you have a whole gym screaming my name, and it's something that I couldn't dream of as a kid, because like I said, I couldn't even put Athens or Greece on the map. And, you know, to live this experience here, to have this relationship I have with the fan here, to be embraced that way, that now, you know, I also put the light on my island, because now more people, like, I don't know how many people in the streets or in there be telling me, like, oh, I want to go visit Martinique. I didn't know Martinique was that nice. I didn't even know the island. And, you know, I put EuroLeague on the map from Ireland, and I put my island on the map here for Europe too. So it's going well. And, you know, I hope I'm going to inspire kids and people from my island to go there. And I hope, you know, one day I'm going to be in my island and I'm going to see a fan of Pana or party on the beach from my island or somewhere. And I'm going to be more than happy to welcome him.
Yeah, that's one thing I would tell you guys too, is like, just from being on the state side and kind of being outside of it now, like, you guys don't understand and know, like, how much of an impression and how much of an impact that you have on a lot of different people, just from all walks of life, inside basketball, outside of basketball. Like, even when this came out, like, so many people hit me up and was like, yo, do you see what Shane's doing? You see what Mike's doing? You see what Matias is doing? Or just talking to different people, even inside where I'm at, they just be like, yo, like, the stuff that they're doing and how they're doing it, like, you guys have an influence. And I'm really glad and really happy to see you guys. Like you said before, like, it's our responsibility, or was my responsibility, now y'all responsibility, to pay that game forward. And like you said, you never know, as Matias said, as Shane said, as Mike said, you never know who's watching and who's that next young generational player that wants to, you know, be like Matias and be like Shane and be like Mike. So just want to give you guys your flowers, that somebody that, you know, was involved in this and been around the game a long time, for what you guys are doing and how you continue to push this game forward, man. Just want to say, you guys, man, you guys are awesome what you're doing. Before I let you go, we got to get to basketball talk. And before, we talked a lot about the podcast, we talked a lot about, you know, the documentary, we talked a lot about all this different stuff, but I want to get to the basketball talk. I'm going to start with you, Matias. What is that feeling going to be like when you step on the court the first time after, you know, all the injuries, all the different things that you've been through? You know, what is that feeling going to be like, you know, for you when you step in Oka for the first time, and I already imagine you gonna have 20,000 people screaming your name? What is that feeling gonna be? I'm sure, like, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it right now. Like, what is that feeling gonna be like for you, you know, stepping into Oka, you know, during that time?
Only God knows what my feelings gonna be. I just hope I don't play like shit. That's all I wish. We know this time, and I come out, and I don't. Hey, they're going to scream my name. They might end up booing me at the end of the game. So I just hope I come out here and produce. That's a lot of work, because I put all that work here. I do all that stuff. Everybody going to be waiting. People are going to watch that game. And I know I can't come out here and be doo-doo. That's all I know.
I've seen in the video, too, you working on that three. You going to come back as the pick and pop guy? That's going to be the new addition to the Arsenal?
I'm going to let a couple games pass by first and see how things go. I might take a little rip and see how it goes. But, you know, Shane know about Ergin. Ergin, you miss one shot, you go out, so.
Hey, Matt. Hey, if he take that 1-3 and don't go in, come sit down, fella.
In Mario Kart, we got 5 life. With Ergin, you got 1.
Talk about you, Mike. They was telling me that you and Alka, like, supposed to be playing, like, a one-on-one game or something along those lines. Or something like that. I don't know. But if EuroLeague, I'm going to phrase the question this way, and this is for all you guys to answer. If EuroLeague had a one-on-one competition, who would win?
I wouldn't play. I'll watch.
Who would win?
It's a lot that goes into that conversation.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, how many?
Where you playing from? Dribble.
All right.
There's a lot going into that.
Who the ref? That's the main thing. Who the ref?
We'll break it down this way. Where we play that? We play indoor, outdoor. We playing in a specific location. Like, what? Like, y'all had to pick. Like, what would it be?
You asked the question, brother. You
tell me. You set the standard, man. So I can answer the question.
Let's just say at the Final Four this year, they do a one-on-one competition. I would do a one-on-one competition. Who in a game that you've seen so far that will win the one-on-one competition in EuroLeague?
I mean, besides, like, the obvious people, like somebody sneaky, because I mean, it's obviously, like, it's like 8 people that I can name that everybody would say, I guess.
Who are your obvious? Who are your top 3?
These 2 and Kendrick.
So. Kendrick got to be in there. Kendrick, yeah. Shane,
standing mic.
Nah, don't dodge it. You got to stay there. Boy. That's what we want to see. That's what they want to see.
I'm too old for this, Kendrick.
That's what we want to see.
I'm subbing one of my teammates. I'm promoting Ilya Kobo to represent Monaco, man.
Okay, okay.
Who am I going to put in there at the moment? Yeah, who? Shit. From Ephesus right now.
One?
PJ. PJ can go.
PJ?
If I had to nominate somebody from my team right now.
Yeah, I think it's PJ.
Who you got, Mateo?
I was thinking Cameron Serra.
I
played with him in Maccabi. I ain't gonna lie. When we were playing once after practice in Maccabi, Cam was tough because he played defense and he got good footwork. I'm glad that he's doing this thing in Valencia this year because I've seen him in the Maccabi and yeah, the one-on-one after practice, he was giving people buckets. I ain't gonna lie.
To be honest, Alpha Diallo would be tough to play one-on-one. I don't know if he would score at a good enough rate, but the score Alpha on him stuff. In one-on-one would suck.
Yeah.
he fouled too much, man. I'm cool.
But Alpha kind of shifty a little bit. Like, he got a little, like
any he got, kind
of, yeah.
If he gets to foul a lot, it's going to be tough to beat Alpha in a one-on-one. When not,
depends on who the ref, I'm telling you.
You gotta call your own call. That's what we go.
No, you can't do that. That's too much.
Long game.
The ref in there. And if they're with the ref. Because I can't, it's the same thing I was thinking about Jaren. Because Jaren, he going to lock you up. He going to foul you, though. And then he get to that mid-range, and he ain't much he can do.
Yeah.
True that.
Jaren would be selling.
Jay said something about it in the game on the film. I mean, it's public knowledge. He was like, all they do is grab it. All they do is. Oh, that was Twitter. That was Twitter. That was Twitter.
Don't get me fined. Don't get me fined again, Kyle, bro.
My bad.
I'll say it for you, Shane. They be fouling.
Don't get me fined again, bro.
I just played in the game where the other team shot 35 free throws and we shot 10.
Man, no comment, man.
No comment. We wanted that part.
I see why my back messed up, man. I got scoliosis.
Mateus, who is, if you have to switch on a pick and roll, who's the one guard that you don't, I don't want to say you don't want to see, but who's the guard that's going to give you the most challenge off of a switch?
Shane, when I was in Munich, Shane gave us 49. That's why I remember him.
I remember that, man.
That's why I remember him in Munich because he got his career high on us. So he was a.
I remember that.
Shane gonna get to that left. He gonna get
Shane there. Get to that left.
Much as you said, he gonna get there.
Him and Nando gonna get you in foul trouble. You foul Nando by the foul. By the time you call the switch, it's already a foul. So Nando already, you done.
Yeah.
You Nando switch. You switch on Nando, you're already in your hip. It's already two shots for you.
He gonna put that left shoulder right in your hip, right hand.
Hey, nothing you can do. And yeah, because as far as just guarding people one on one, I think I don't see. But it's just guy that they be tricky. Like, you know, Shane be tricky. Might be tricky with that little step, but they might not get, I ain't gonna lie, might not get that much fouls. And Kendrick the same, so it's like guys like that, I know him, I never played against Kendrick, but I know Kendrick don't be out here going for fouls, but staying too fast, and it's some guys that be just, they just play the game.
When I had to guard Kendrick, when I had to switch on Kendrick, that's when I knew it was time to retire. I was like, I'm done.
About that time.
Yeah, I was like, it's about that time. It's about that time. Yeah, man. But I just want to wrap it up, man. I just want to say appreciate you guys, man. Appreciate you guys for taking the time. I know a lot of you, you know, you're busy in the middle of your seasons. Appreciate you time for, you know, speaking to the fans and reaching out. Before we go, I mean, I'm going to give each one of you, and I miss this the time, you know, just to speak on, you know, what they should expect, or, you know, coming forward with the rest of the season. I'm going to start with you, Mateus. You know, what has been the best parts of the documentary? And then also, like, you know, what should the EuroLeague fans look forward to watching, you know, over the course of the next couple episodes?
I won't be too long because I got to go watch the Champions League game. So just follow to my process on the injury. I got to watch the game. So, yeah, just the process of my injury. Like I say, you know, I don't really know when I'm going to get back and watch the exact process. So you got to take it day by day. But
you know, just complete the rest of my journey. Hopefully, I'll be back in my team soon. I'll be in here. Hopefully, we don't have the Final Four at home, and it's gonna be a great thing to experience.
You, Mike?
You know, hopefully it just goes well, brother. I'm just trying to stay healthy and get through the season. That's what they can expect. Me trying to stay healthy and get through the season.
I forgot to mention your suspect golf game, but we'll say that for another time.
I'm cleaning it up. I mean, I had a bad day. You know what's crazy? When I play basketball on camera, I'm cool. But when the golf came, I'm not that confident. It was just too much pressure on me.
I get shaky.
Everything started tightening up. My hips just started sweating. It was cold and I was sweating. I ain't like soon he stayed for 9 holes. As soon as he left, I started winning. I'm like, all right, can't come back, bro. I'm off, bro. Had me nervous as shit.
Well, what about you, Shane? Where do you see the future of this particular platform going? I mean, are you looking for a possible season 2, season 3? Like, what are you looking for with this?
Obviously, getting it off the ground this year was the most important thing, and I think it has been received well. And being able to tell these stories has been exciting, and watching them kind of develop from a producer kind of standpoint of it, or watching it from behind the scenes. But I see it could go in many different ways. Obviously, I don't want to give off too much information of what we've been trying to get into, but you can see many different faces in Europe. You could go younger, possibly. You can go, you know, older. You can go to coaches. So there's a lot of different things, because there's a lot of personalities that make EuroLeague so important, and what makes EuroLeague such a good, you know, quality content. I think there's a lot of ways that can go. But the main and most important thing is just to try to next episode, just raise the bar another level, so that we can just give these stories this year the most authentic and true look at what it's like to be, you know, one of the top EuroLeague guys. And I think that's what we're focusing on now. I can't really give off too much of what we're trying to do in the future. Somebody might try to take my idea or some shit, so I'm not gonna do that. So I'm gonna just say, there's a lot of things that we could get into, but we need this one to go well. And, you know, thankful to these guys for being a part of it. Obviously, I've talked to y'all before, but appreciate y'all being a part of this. I think it's really important for not only people in Europe, but people around the world to understand what it is that we're doing over here. And, you know, being able to motivate kids from Martinique, or kids back home in Portland, or wherever the hell I'm from, wherever people want to say, I think is important. So just continue to do it in the right way, continue to do it at a high level. And, you know, hope everybody can stay healthy the rest of the way. Matisse can get back on the court. Hopefully I can get back on the court sometime soon and finish the season strong.
Well, I appreciate you guys. Man, appreciate you guys, like I said before, being on. As I said before, gave you guys your flowers, man. Continue to do great things. Continue to do the things you've been doing. Best of luck the rest of the season. Definitely miss you guys. Definitely missing it being out there and having to compete against you guys. But like I said, I'm all y'all biggest supporters. Man, like I said before, this man, appreciate you guys for doing this. Thanks again for joining us on this episode of EuroLeague Friends Global. If you're watching this on YouTube, remember to like, subscribe, and share this video with your friends. If you're listening on your favorite podcast app, be sure to follow the show, leave a rating so you never miss an episode. That's it. Keep out, EuroLeague fans. See you guys soon.